I'm Dr. Robert Mather, and I am the conservative social psychologist. Welcome to my podcast. My podcasts are available exclusively at theconservativesocialpsychologist.com. The brainwashed killer is a new archetype of the modern era. We fear the Manchurian candidate and whisper that Oswald and Sirhan Sirhan were programmed by the CIA. We cringe when we watch Bucky get brainwashed in Captain America movies. We laugh at the Naked Gun with Reggie Jackson saying, "I must kill the Queen." But the fear of brainwashing is real. I outline the basis of this in my recent article at Psychology Today entitled U.S. Government Mind Control Experiments, Hypnosis, LSD, and the Unabomber. Since this is really part two of the podcast, the previous podcast being about MKUltra, let me bring you up to speed on what we've learned in the last episode. So to recap the last episode was the CIA's MKUltra program. So Project MKUltra was a CIA-funded project. It was very secretive from the U.S. government. They used LSD and hypnosis to brainwash people from 1953 to 1964. In 1974, the director ordered the records to be destroyed. In 1977, some financial records were discovered in another building, and so there were multiple investigations into all of this. Henry Murray was a Harvard psychologist who did interrogation experiments on undergraduates. He'd previously worked for the Office of Strategic Services. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was one of the participants in that study, in his study at Harvard. Ewan Cameron attempted to erase memories by repeated high-voltage electroshock therapy throughout the day for people. People would come into the Canadian hospital, and they were forced to endure months of drug-induced sleep and being repeatedly administered LSD. They were patients that came in for depression, for treatment for those types of things. It was a CIA-funded study in Canada, in Montreal. Other parts of the MKUltra program, they always had a field component to it. They wanted to see how things would work in the field in addition to trying to figure out how they could persuade people through hypnosis or LSD and those types of things. A CIA agent hired prostitutes to slip LSD into people's drinks and then noted what happened through a two-way mirror of a safe house that they had set up. 1953, very notably, Dr. Frank Olson, who was working with the CIA, was given LSD by CIA agents without his knowledge, and he died as a result. CIA agents administered LSD to other citizens that they met at bars and other places. All of that was part of the MKUltra program, again, from 1953 to 1964. In the last podcast, I talked a little bit about the Missouri Institute of Psychiatry, which had a bunch of Air Force-funded LSD studies from 1967 to 1981. They dealt with LSD, electroconvulsive therapy, prefrontal bilateral lobotomies, the use of LSD and amphetamines to increase hypnotic susceptibility, and trials with LSD and lobotomized schizophrenics. So that kind of catches you up to speed on what the last podcast was about. The current podcast, let me start off with a propaganda film. It was called The War for Men's Minds in 1943. It was a National Film Board of Canada's film. It was part of the World in Action series. It was released by United Artists. It was narrated by a very young Lorne Greene in Canada. And so in that film that was put out to audiences at movie theaters, they discussed how Hitler used, or they showed how Hitler used propaganda to ascend to power. They discussed the role of the press, newspapers, motion picture industry, radio networks, Hitler, Goebbels, Mussolini, FDR, Churchill, Stalin, De Gaulle, all of these were discussed in the film. And of course, it was set out as a war propaganda film. That film, a lot of footage from that film was shown in the movie The Minds of Men. And so this is really what I want to talk about for a while, The Minds of Men. The Minds of Men was a 2018 documentary. It's 3 hours and 43 minutes long. I mentioned it in the last podcast that I was about two-thirds of the way through it. I was less than two-thirds of the way through it because 2 hours is not two-thirds of 3 hours and 43 minutes. So it's more than, you probably want more than one sitting to watch it. It was a film by Aaron and Melissa Dykes. It features very prominently for the last third of the film, interviews with a psychiatrist, Peter Bregan. And it starts off, you know, it kind of outlines where a lot of the scientists came from that were recruited to the MKUltra program and with the FBI. Canada was a hub for a lot of these studies, which makes sense for off-the-book studies to be conducted other places. But Wilder Penfield was prominent in these discussions. Wilder Penfield, we discuss in our physiological psychology classes, opened people's brains up and stimulated different areas. You can't see me. I'm using my hand to make the motions of the electrode stimulations, but stimulated different areas and saw what parts of the cortex did what thing. We learned a lot from that. However, there was a dark side of that that's usually not discussed, and that's the fact that a lot of it was funded by the MKUltra program. Donald Hebb, we learn about in physiological psychology as far as the responsiveness of neuronal activation. Hebb was prominent in this type of research. It was funded by the CIA. Sensory deprivation, for putting people in sensory deprivation for 2 to 6 days. That's where they're everything's the same as their body temperature. They're in salt water. There's no light. There's no sound. There's no stimulation of any type. And for 2 to 6 days to see what people's breaking points would be. The predecessor of the CIA was the Office of Strategic Services. Kurt Lewin, who's the father of experimental social psychology, consulted on studies for them. John von Neumann, who's big an influencer of cognitive psychology, was part of that. Margaret Mead from Anthropology all worked with the Office of Strategic Services. The Rockefeller Foundation, the National Institute of Mental Health was founded all as part of this. The wartime Office of Strategic Services actually worked out of the Rockefeller Center. So 30 Rock, if you remember the show or if you've seen the building in New York City, which I have, that's where their office was. The Human Ecology Fund was a fund created by the Office of Strategic Services and the CIA to fund their research. There was a great deal of research after World War II on digital computers and cybernetics. Those were used for anti-aircraft calibration, but eventually it led to kind of setting the stage for the cognitive conceptualization of the mind as the computer, which launched a lot of research in psychology. But also led to people being viewed as being programmable. And there's a lot to be gained by an intelligence agency examining those questions. Margaret Mead wrote a report called Mental Health and World Citizenship, which was all part of kind of bringing everyone together for the greater good of using science to help humans figure out how to manipulate each other was part of that. And at one point, she was the president of the World Federation of Mental Health, which was also part of this larger operation. The military and scientists viewed man as a machine in between two other machines, right? So if you've got two machines that are working and there's a human in the middle of that, the human becomes a machine to be manipulated. Perception studies, what the frog's eye tells the brain was a classic study that we learn about in perception. Donald McKay was also, he and his research were also part of the MKUltra program. And its predecessors. The Macy Foundation and the cybernetics conferences that they led, also a big part of, basically that all of that kind of led you to MKUltra, the things that I've been talking about, and many continued on with that. Interesting, down the road from where I'm in Oklahoma City, down the road from where I'm at in Fort Worth, Texas, Texas Christian University, Saul B. Sells founded the Institute of Behavioral Research, where he brought brain waves and other psychophysiological measures, sophisticated statistics, and he was attempting to remotely activate or control a person. He specifically did this in Project 119 and even held a conference in 1961 with Muzaffer Sheriff. Sheriff was also funded by MKUltra. Sheriff was at the University of Oklahoma, which leads me to wonder if the famous Robbers Cave studies were actually funded by the MKUltra program. Of course, there's no way for us to ever know because so many of the records were destroyed. Another famous psychologist, Jose Delgado, or another famous neuroscientist, Jose Delgado, embedded electrodes inside a fighting bull's brain, and he showed that he could remotely control aggression within the bull. And so the bull would charge and he could push the button and stop it. And that became a very important part of the research that he did later on in trying to remotely control humans and other animals. The famous Olds and Milner studies where they looked at rats, the reward center of rats, and the rat could push the lever and have control of its reward center, and it would just press the lever until it died, and it became an important part of the physiological models of addiction. This was done at McGill University and was all part of the MKUltra program. Robert Heath did deep electrical stimulation studies out of Tulane University Medical Center. He did these on prisoners, and at one point he attempted deep stimulation on a homosexual man in the presence of a prostitute to try to treat his homosexuality. Delgado, as I mentioned with the remote control of the bull, took his remote control, deep embedded electrode remote controls of the brain, to a monkey colony, and he could actually stimulate monkeys in different ways to the point where he could reorganize the hierarchy of the colony. He could get mothers to ignore their children. He could get the monkeys to fight with each other. And at one point, he even gave the monkeys the controllers of each other's brains. And what they did was they turned off the aggression to the dominant monkey, and then they roamed into the dominant monkey's territory freely. Frank Irvin was another neuroscientist involved in this research. He stimulated the patients of his brain, and he had a dial that he could dial up anxiety and fear and depression. All of these different emotions, he could dial it up or dial it down, however he wanted to. He co-authored studies with Delgado, and he was a student of Heath. And what we start to see here is we see the connections between scientists, right? We see somebody train somebody else, somebody is somebody else's colleagues, and we start to see this normalization of the culture of science being okay with this. If you remember the previous podcast, you remember that the MKUltra program ultimately led to many horrific studies that were conducted on non-consenting people, children, non-consenting adults. Very sad. Peter Bregan did an interview in the movie that we're discussing, and he's a psychiatrist who opposed lobotomies. And so one of the first things he did was he got a lobotomist at the University of Mississippi shut down. And he also discussed what's called the Boston Violence Project. And so Burnham Mark, William Sweet, and Frank Irvin all suggested that leaders of violence in ghettos who rose up against poverty had abnormal brains. And so the idea was that to identify the brain abnormalities of people with violence would be a way to identify them early and then stop violent urban protesters. So the idea here was that people who rose up out of poverty and disliked poverty and tried to organize other people had something abnormally, had some brain abnormality, and there's something wrong with them. And the government invested a great deal of money in this to try to, in the 1960s, to try to shut down protests. Mark and Irvin in 1966 discussed a case study of Thomas R., whose real name was Leonard Kyle. He was an epileptic with outbursts, and he had bilateral lesions of his amygdala that later inspired the Michael Crichton novel, The Terminal Man. They had implanted remote control electrodes in his brain, and they got consent for him to do the amygdala surgery, but they got consent for the amygdala surgery while he was under the influence of the electrode stimulation that was already implanted in his brain. When he was not under that stimulation, he'd said very forcefully that he did not want the amygdala surgery. So even the question of consent there, when they did get it, was an issue. Kyle was an engineer who was later institutionalized in California for always. He always gave his story about brain control experiments in Boston. And so everywhere he went, people thought he was crazy because they said, no, people are not trying to implant electrodes in your brain and remotely control your brain. And so he lived the rest of his life out institutionalized in different places for a story that really checked out. Most of the story checked out. There were some other things that they hadn't verified yet, but when two-thirds of a story is accurate and you can't verify or not verify the other third, it leads you to wonder if, in fact, some of the things he claimed, which was that they hooked other people's brains up to each other's brain waves and tried to get them in sync through stimulation, if those types of things were tried. Norbert Wiener was a scientist that developed the autocorrelator, and the best way to describe that it was like the brain in the Marvel movies when they take that scientist and his brain is all on the different computerized tapes from the World War II era and shortly after that, and it used cybernetics and it used EEG brain activity. The National Institute of Mental Health and the Department of Justice took funds that Congress directly gave them to fund Mark Irvin and Sweet's research on this type of thing. Now, again, right down the road, I'm in Oklahoma City. Lewis West of the University of Oklahoma Medical Center did MKUltra studies on sensory deprivation and hallucinogens right here in Oklahoma City. In 2008, the CIA declassified Office of Scientific Intelligence reports from 1949 to 1968, and the part about biomedical cybernetics was included, but it was redacted, so we still don't know what records there are of that program. But the Soviets ran a very similar program, apparently. Now, another article that was brought to me by a reader is called Declassified Documents Show CIA Poisoned Entire Town with LSD and Massive Mind Control Experiment. And I'd read reports of this, and it was alluded to in some of the Senate testimony that I discussed in the Psychology Today article. But the CIA, Point Saint Esprit in 1951 on August 16th, apparently poisoned the food of the village with LSD. And so many people went to the hospital. There were massive hallucinations. They call it le pain maudé. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong, which means cursed bread in French. And so the village, the entire village, essentially all hallucinated at the same time. And later that was potentially linked to the CIA. Definitely in the Senate testimony, there were discussions of the fact that you could they had looked at putting LSD in the water supplies and poisoning an entire town with LSD. So there had been discussions in the Senate testimony of that type of work potentially being done. Again, there's no record because the records were destroyed. So in conclusion, I just thought this would be a good way to let you know how our U.S. government tax dollars were spent in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, and remind you that ethics in scientists is an important issue, and we have institutional review boards now to help us with those things. There were review boards at those times, too, that were not used for those types of studies, and so we always have to be vigilant and make sure that people are doing the best that they can to uphold what is truly good for both the individual and the collective. So thank you very much. Listen to my podcast exclusively at theconservativesocialpsychologist.com.